You are flying high on Locked On Eagles, your source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news and analysis, brought to you by MyBookie.ag. I am your host, Michael Kist. You can follow my X&O work for Inside the Pylon, follow my draft and fantasy work for BreakingFootball.com, follow me on Twitter at MichaelKistNFL. As always, I am joined by the best co-host in the game, Mr. 7-Year Streak Without a Bad Day. He is Benjamin Solak of Bleeding Green Nation and NDT Scouting. Follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. Ben, how you doing, brother?
Oh, Mike, you know every day is a good day to be alive, my friend. We crossed over yesterday. We're crossing over again today. I'm very excited to get chatting some more Eagles, more Falcons. Playoffs, baby. We're talking playoffs.
Yeah, buddy. With us today, we have a friend of mine from the Scouting Academy. He's written for my boys over at Breaking Football. He's got a J for a middle initial. I can relate. Really solid initial to have. He comes to us by way of the Falcoholic, Eric Robinson. How you doing, brother?
I am doing great. I'm doing great, man. I'm ready for this matchup coming up on Saturday. It's going to be fun.
So, Eric, you did the wide receiver module for Scouting Academy this summer. So did I. And yeah. So what they do there, for every position that you go through, they give you two example players. And those two example players are meant to show you that this is how the position is played at the highest level. Julio Jones obviously was one of them. Look, we all know Julio Jones is an alien, but man, you go back to the tape and you take a really detailed look at what he does over whatever five games that we were assigned, and it's pure joy. And the whole time in my head, I'm thinking, how can anybody possibly be this good at anything, not just in sports, but in life at anything? Eric, from a technique standpoint, from an overall player evaluation standpoint, what do you see when you watch Julio Jones, when you break down his film that makes him so special?
You know, it's interesting because coming out of Alabama, his route running was decent, but it has really improved over the years. And I think that comes along with playing with veterans in the past, such as Roddy White, such as Tony Gonzalez. You know, he had a wide receiver coach in Terry Rubisky for the first few years of his career. Mm-hmm. That helped out as well. Playing with a guy like Mohamed Sanu also has helped his route running. Over the years, he's becoming a much, much better route runner. His breaks are quick. His cuts are quick and very crisp. From a technique standpoint, you know, he's almost a prototype. And I'm being fair when I say that because, yeah. I mean, there may never be a ton of Julio Joneses in the NFL from here on out. But from a technique standpoint, he's very refined and he's gotten better over the years. And you have to really pay attention to that because it's easy to look at Julio Jones and see a big guy, a fast guy. But you will also notice that over the years, he's gotten a lot better when it comes to route running, when it comes to catching. He was a body catcher coming out of Alabama, and now he's a pure hands guy. So he's gotten a lot more refined over the years.
I love it. I love it. I'm going to go to the Eagles' primary pass catcher, not a receiver. That's Zach Ertz, the tight end there for Philadelphia. Now, he's been the guy for Philadelphia. He's the only guy with a 10-reception game for the Eagles so far this year. He's the only guy with a 100-yard receiving game for Philadelphia this year. Obviously, they've got Alshon Jeffrey, who's a good player in his own right. But really, the feature point of the passing offense, especially without Darren Sproles, the running back there, has been Zach Ertz kind of working the quick game. He obviously also is the best rapport with Nick Foles. They're the only guys who have played together separately besides this 2017 season. I'm looking at the Falcons' schedule here. They had the Patriots up against Gronk. He went 7 targets, 3 receptions for 51 yards. But besides that, they really haven't seen a lot of teams with excellent tight end play, just from what I'm looking at. They did have the Seahawks with Jimmy Graham, but the Grahams tend to be more of just like a red zone machine than he is, much more between the 20s sort of a guy currently. I'm curious how you're covering Zach Ertz. I'm curious how the Falcons defense is going to deploy their players to take away that primary target for Philadelphia.
When it comes to defending tight ends, that's been an Achilles heel for the Falcons for the past few years up until this season. They have gotten better overall when it comes to defending tight ends, but Zach Ertz is going to be one of the better matchups for this team that they have seen all year. I mean, you mentioned they had Gronkowski. You know, they had Jason Witten at one point, and it kind of held him in check. They had Greg Olsen in the season finale, and they held him to one catch. But Witten is up in age. Olsen hasn't been 100% all year, so you kind of it's kind of justifiable a little bit that they had that the defense showed up against those guys. But Ertz is going to be a key focus for the Falcons defense, and he's going to get his fair share of defenders. He's going to see Devondre Campbell a lot, the strong side linebacker. He's going to see Keanu Neal a few times. He may even see Deion Jones. Now, the thing is, Deion Jones is probably the best defender of the three when it comes to defending tight ends. I like that matchup for the Falcons. With the other two, I think Ertz has a slight advantage. So it's going to be, like you said, it's going to be key for the Falcons to focus on Ertz coming into this one.
Yeah, and I was looking at the Pro Football Focus projected tight up matchup matrix that they have. Keon O'Neill is on there, and I just looked up Keon O'Neill's coverage stats. He's giving up some yardage there in the passing game. So I definitely would say that getting a Deion Jones on Zach Ertz would do some good, affect him earlier in the route if possible, and try to get him off his game. So I'm definitely with you there. So speaking of this defense, Eric, this defense plays fast, and then you see playoff speed, and they play even faster. I think defensive coordinator, is it Marquand Manuel is the defensive coordinator there? Yeah.
For sure, guy.
Yeah, he's done a solid job with this unit. As someone who covers this team on a daily basis, what are the main strengths of the defense?
Speed.
Yeah.
Speed. That's the pops off the page. I mean, at every level, there's no lack of speed to this team, and it has been built over the years from the drafting of Desmond Trufant and Robert Alford, getting a guy like Deion Jones who ran a 4.3 at a combine. I don't know the last time a middle linebacker ran a 4.3 at a combine. You got guys like Tack McKinley, Vic Beasley, both of those guys ran 4.5 at the combine as well. Even Grady Jarrett, a 6-foot under tackle, who's, I mean, his speed is more off the ball and cutting into gaps. So that's the first thing that pops off this page is speed, man. Technique when it comes to tackling has gotten a lot better. There's still a few things I would love to see from a few defenders out there, but when it comes to beating these guys to the edge, there's not many teams that can do it. These guys are fast everywhere.
So, Eric, I'm curious because this has been a narrative that's kind of been pushed around Philadelphia a little bit. National media have talked about it a little bit too. I don't know if you caught Ryan Brandt had this big old rant about Philadelphia and their perceived underdogness on Good Morning Football and everything like that. Matt Ryan traveling is something that a lot of people are talking about, traveling, you know, cold area outside of a dome. If you look at Matt Ryan's career splits at home and on the road, he's got a 68% winning on the at home, and then just over, a touch over 50% on the road, right? So he's still got a winning percentage on the road, but there is a pretty big difference as far as how he plays. If we're talking, you know, a completion percentage, it's a big drop-off. Touchdown to interception ratio is a big drop-off as well. Are you worried, you know, Matt Ryan, 1-3 at the link. How much is this a narrative? I know these sort of home road splits can get super overblown. So from an enemy's perspective, I want to know, how worried are you about Matt Ryan and the Falcons offense in Philadelphia?
I'm more worried about the offense in a particular weather element than I am about them on the road. And what is the forecast upcoming for Saturday?
I mean, a few days away still, but yeah, we're talking like 30s.
That concerns me a little bit, honestly. To me, it's more about the elements that are a factor in this a game like this. But I mean, these guys on the road, you know, outside of the Patriots game and the game against the Saints, which is in the dome, they're 6-2, I believe, on the road in the regular season. So it hasn't been much of an issue this year, but it's different. It's playoff time, Philly. The crowd is going to be loud. The crowd is going to be raucous. It's going to be a tough place to play in. If you go back to last season, Falcons came on the road against a Philly team that, you know, didn't have a great season. But, man, that was one of the toughest games the Falcons played all year. And they, you know, they lost, but it was a grinder. And I expect the same thing. So I'm more concerned about how they perform in the element, how Sarkisian is going to play call in this type of element, more than I'm concerned about the team on the road in that type of environment.
All right, well, our producers actually just pulled it up, and things have shifted. Because so there's a warm front, which, like, we're talking like, you know, 50, 60 degrees Friday into Saturday, but that's got rain attached to it, right? That's got some precipitation. That was mostly on Friday from what I saw earlier. It's now moved into Saturday. It's got AM showers for Saturday. Obviously, the game is Saturday afternoon. Sunday, it's like, you know, nice and clear, and it's 30 degrees. And so you either got a little bit toastier, but potentially some rain, or a little bit chillier and nice clear skies. Which are you taking if you can pick?
I'd much rather have the nice, clear skies, of course. But, you know, I go back to a game that the Falcons played earlier this year in New York against the Jets. And that was a pretty much a rainstorm. They actually had, I believe, 3 fumbles in the game, and a couple of them came from bad snaps. But in that game, Matt Ryan was 18-29 for 254 yards and 2 touchdowns and picks. So the element was horrible. And when I say horrible, I mean it was – It was rain soaked, but he played well. The play calling was not that bad. You know, they hit a couple deep passes with Julio. They got the running game going. I believe they had almost 150 rushing yards in that game. They almost had 400 total yards of an offense. So they put up 400 yards and still had three fumbles in that game. I think that this team can figure out that they can play in that type of element. They've done that before. So,
Eric, why does Tevin Coleman run like he's had an inner ear infection since birth?
Because he probably has. Honestly. Either that or he's ran from bullies all his life and he's gotten used to it. Tevin Coleman is one of the biggest threats in the NFC with the ball in his hands. He's a threat to score at any time. To give Eagles fans something to focus on a little bit, there's one thing Tevin Coleman does that I hate, and I haven't seen him fix it yet. When he runs with the ball in his hands, he does not switch hands when he's running towards the sideline.
Right.
He keeps the ball away from the sideline, and that bothers me.
Malcolm Jenkins is going to take that.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's closer to defenders that way. If you're running parallel to the sideline, you have to switch the ball in your hand and keep the ball closer to the sideline just in case of a fumble. That bothers me. And I honestly, against a veteran defense led by a guy like Malcolm Jenkins, who has his nose around the football, you know, that's worrisome. That's something to keep an eye on in this one.
Yeah, a lot of ball carriers, the way they carry the ball is attached to their balance, which Tevin Coleman tends to struggle with at times as well. So maybe it's a good thing he doesn't try to switch that, because he'll get some turf monsters to pop up on him every now and then. Eric, I'm going to give you three matchups from the Eagles offense against the Falcons secondary. I want you to tell me which one concerns you the most. So the projected matchups are Alshon Jeffrey against Robert Alford, Torrey Smith against Desmond Trufant, shouldn't worry you at all, Nelson Aguilar versus Brian Poole. Which one of those do you think concerns you the most? Just first reaction out of that.
Perfectly honest, the Trufant matchup.
Really?
Yes. Robert Alford has been underrated this year. And one thing that I've seen from Desmond Trufant this year that I haven't seen in recent years, he's gotten a lot more greedier than normal. And when I say greedy, he keeps his eyes in the backfield. You go back to the bro game against the Saints, he got beat against Ted Ginn. And the reason why he got beat was he was so focused on what was going on in the backfield that he forgot about a speedster running right past him. If he can just get out of that mental funk, I think he can cover majority of the receivers in the league. I think he can be able to hold his own against Alshon Jeffrey. Against Torrey Smith. But Robert Alford has been playing lights out this year. And I like that matchup. I like the matchup with Poole. Poole's aggressive. And I think if he can get into Nelson Aguilar a little bit and disrupt that timing, I think Poole's going to have a solid day. But honestly, coming into this one, the matchup with Torrey Smith and Trufant kind of worries me slightly a little bit.
That's interesting, because there's something that we've been running all year, and I'm wondering if we bust it out for the playoffs. And Ben, I know we've talked about it. They script early some speed outs, and we've thrown it probably four out of the last five games on the first drive, on the first series, first few plays. I am just waiting for that out and up. I don't know about you, Ben, but is that something you could foresee us trying to take advantage of?
Almost definitely. You know where my head went to the touchdown against Aqib Talib against the Broncos? The one where they, you know, if you got a guy who likes to step around the backfield like Talib does, and as Eric was saying, you run a little zone read action, you make that cornerback take a look, and then you throw the option, the fade behind him. That's another option there as well. Hearing the issues with Ted Ginn, the speedster, don't be surprised if you see Aguilar on the outside as well. Right. Torrey Smith's got that speed, but Aguilar's really been the deep threat as of late.
Alford went up against a guy like Sammy Watkins in the Rams matchup. And Watkins, we all know Watkins has been a hub of inconsistency, but Alford was targeted 8 times in that game. He only gave up 2 passes for 17 yards, which is pretty impressive. So when it comes to those two guys, I don't worry about them getting beat off pure speed. They can stick with anybody. It's all about the mental aspect that they bring to the game. And I've seen some breaks from Trufant this year that kind of worries me a little bit.
Well, we know all about that from our cornerbacks. Okay, so let's get to our mybookie.ag playoff picks of the week. Ben, if you have to make a bet, what site do you go to?
I go to mybookie.ag, Michael. It is the source of all happiness in the world. The fountain of youth was actually discovered by the people who formed mybookie.ag. And so if you're into eternal life and happiness, mybookie.ag, the place to go. We have a code for them too, don't we, Mike?
Yeah, we do. And I'm going to get to that in a second. But I need to talk about the best betting site on the planet Earth. Proof is in the pudding with them. They're the number one rated online sports book. And they're going to blow your butts off with how easy it is to deposit your cash. And most importantly, how quick you get paid out. Hey, Ben, how fast is The Flash?
We're talking like DC Comics here?
Yeah.
What universe? Like, what are we talking like? Is this Earth 1? Is this like the TV show?
Doesn't matter.
What I'm going to do here, Mike, is I'm going to go so nerd heavy on you until I destroy your metaphor. Or destroy your little, like, I don't know, literary device here.
You know what?
Insanely fast, Mike. Fast as lightning.
Well, okay. Yeah, the only answer to that is he's not as fast as mybookie.ag because The Flash isn't offering the fastest no-hassle payouts in the business. And best part is they got odds on everything with live betting. And an all-new prop builder that just might be the best invention since sliced bread. Quick history fact, sliced bread goes back to 1928, and we would have had sliced bread in 1912, but the prototype was destroyed in a fire, which in my opinion was God's way of telling the world that he didn't want sliced bread, he wanted a prop builder like the one at mybookie.ag. You want to bet that Jay Ajayi goes for over 200 yards and 3 tutties? Might be a stupid bet. Probably not going to co-sign that bet, but you can make it happen anyway because this is America, and what's going to help your wallet is MyBookie is going to match your deposit up to 50% when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON. Receive up to 50% bonus. You can bet from your laptop, your tablet, because it's 2017. Bet on their Emmy-winning mobile site. Visit MyBookie.ag today and bet on the internet's favorite site where you play, you win, you get paid. Ben, we are going to pick some games. Hit me with the first game. What you got?
Oh, that felt good. I liked that one. All right, we're talking purely Atlanta, Philly, or are we doing all four?
Let's do all four, man, right?
Let's live it up. All right, we'll start with that. Oh, no, we'll end with that one because that's the one that brings us home.
Yeah.
So instead, we'll go to the other Saturday game. That's Tennessee against New England. That's the 8:15 game. Currently, New England, they're getting 13.5 points that they're favored by, which I said by this time it would be 16. That was my prediction. So it appears that the public is not leaning on New England as heavily. And the over-under is set at 47. Mike, what do you like?
Okay, so the Titans are 1-4 against the spread in their last 5 road games. New England was 16-point favorites last year against Houston. They covered pretty easily, if memory serves. Plus, they're tied for first in highest percentage of games covered this year. And since 2003, nobody has covered at a higher percentage than the New England Patriots. Game recognized game. So I'm putting my money on the team that it's not going to crap their pants when the bright lights hit. I'm going with the New England Patriots to cover.
All right. Next one's heading on over to you, Eric. I'm talking Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, Sunday. That's the 1 o'clock slate. Jacksonville is a touchdown underdog in the Steel City. Over under set at 41. What do you like?
He's thinking.
Over under 41.
What are you going to do with your money?
That's a good defense Jacksonville has. Artie Burns, by the way. Do you remember? Artie Burns went down non-contact left knee injury today in Pittsburgh. Ooh. So they may be starting Cameron Sutton, the third-round rookie at corner.
Oh, geez. Wow. That is actually pretty big news, Ben.
I think Jacksonville covers.
Jacksonville covers. What would you like for your score?
You think it's low scoring or you think it gets out of hand?
I think it's low scoring. I think we're going to see a four-quarter heavyweight fight here. That Jacksonville defense is good, man.
Yeah.
They are good and they are special. And I think they're going to give Pittsburgh some problems. I'm going to go with the Steelers here. I like it maybe 20 to 17.
Are you feeling a Bortles interception at the end of the game just to wrap it up with a nice little bow?
It has to end that way. It has to end that way.
Yeah.
They're going to do everything right up until Bortles screws them over. It has to end that way.
If I'm prop betting anything, it's Bortles at 3 interceptions because of how much there's been the narrative around the Ben Roethlisberger interceptions last time they played.
Yeah.
So I like potentially better prop bet on Bortles getting over 2 interceptions. But last game is Sunday. That's New Orleans at Minnesota. That's 4:40. New Orleans currently 4.5-point underdogs. I know I've been touting Minnesota all year. I know that I think they're the best team in the NFC. I think they're the favorite in the NFC to go to the playoffs, and they rightfully should be. But 4.5 feels a little rich for me. I don't know. And that number is like kind of a no man's land as far as, you know, how things go. I like that it's over 4. I think I would probably take New Orleans in this one if I were to bet on it. But I do see a very real possibility where Minnesota kind of suffocates them out, obviously up there in the home field. We're not icing them out, though. Stadium is going to be warm. It's going to be dome. So that kind of takes away the edge a little bit. I like Minnesota to still win it. I'll take Do I think Minnesota can put up 31? I'll take 24-20. Minnesota beats New Orleans. New Orleans barely covers. That'll bring us to the game of the week, in my opinion, the important one here for this podcast. Saturday, 4:35 p.m., Atlanta and Philadelphia. You've heard it. Philadelphia is a home underdog, folks. 3-point underdog right now for Philadelphia at mybookie.ag. Over under 41. Yeah, 3-point underdog. It's awful. You got to move it somehow. You got to buy a half point somewhere. But anyway, so Atlanta, Philly. I'll start with Mike. What do you like? And then we'll do Eric and I'll wrap it up.
I'm going to go with a score of 14-12. I think Philadelphia scores a touchdown at the end, but can't get the two-point conversion to tie it up. So that's likely the under by a lot, right?
Yeah, that's pretty heavily the under. Yeah, over-under is set at 41.
Yeah, I'm way under. I think it's a slugfest a little bit in the beginning, and then maybe some scoring pops off in the second half. But I'm gonna go with the Eagles covering yet losing. Locked On Eagles listeners, do not crucify me for this, as I explained yesterday with the crossover with Locked On Falcons with Aaron Freeman. The last time I projected that the Eagles would lose was the Carolina Panthers game. I was wrong. I am hoping to be wrong again. Eric, how do you feel about this game?
I knew there was something with that. There's something funky about that, man. Like, he's not just going to come straight out and pick the Falcons. There's some type. There's something with
some chicanery. There's always some chicanery with me. You'll learn that.
I'm going to go with the over. Slightly, though, I'm going to go with the Falcons 24-21 in this one. I think it is a slow grinder to start off, but I think both teams kind of hit their strides in the second half, and I think the Falcons pick up a big win on the road here.
Yeah, and
I do hate their underdogs. I hate that. I really do.
Yeah, no, this guy would be doing something to Falcons fans. We were talking with Aaron on the previous pod about what it's like to be a Falcon fan and to have a lead or, like, be favored in a game, because it's got to be terrifying. Eric right now is, like, shaking his head. He's not dealing with it. Philadelphia fans, go ahead.
It was 6.5 to start the week. And when I saw that, I was like, right. Wait a minute, this is bad. I hate when the Falcons are favorites, especially when they're road favorites. Oh, man, this really could end horribly, man.
Yo, these poor Falcon fans, Mike, what are we doing to them? We're just putting them through so much mental torment having to talk about their team.
Yeah, I know. And I follow so many of them on Twitter. So whenever anything bad happens to the Falcons, which, I mean, we won't talk about the big thing, but when it goes down, it goes down on Atlanta Twitter, bro.
No, I was thinking about Seattle Twitter, man. I follow a lot of Seattle Twitter. Obviously, we had Grant and Spike, two really good guys on the Locked On Seahawks podcast that came over. When Tom Cable was fired today, Seattle Twitter went insane. It was awesome.
You want to see something insane? Just have Steve Sarkisian call a bad play at a key juncture in the game and watch Twitter at that point. That's going to get
it. Man, I already cannot wait for Saturday. It's going to be so much fun. Listen, as you know, Locked On Eagles listeners, if you listened to yesterday's pod, but if you know, Mike and I have disagreed on our pick for Philadelphia once so far this year. That was the Carolina game. He was wrong. I was right. I picked the Eagles. I am the good host. I'm doing it again. I like Philadelphia to be able to take this puppy home. I think that you've got 2 weeks of prep for Doug Peterson and his team. Obviously, only 1 week knowing the opponent, but still, they had the opportunity to really mentally reset after kind of limping to the finish there. I think that you've got a pro's pro and Nick Foles, who knows what he's doing, is going to be capable. He's going to be able to keep the game on schedule. And then you turn to your defense and you say, you are a high-paid defensive line. You are a secondary that we put a lot of investment in. We traded for a couple of you guys. We brought in new safeties. Turn to Jim Schwartz, who's got some head coaching buzz around him, and you say, listen, go win us a football game. Like, you know, home field against a team that their offense has been streaky. Let's go out there. Let's play four good quarters and win. I like Philadelphia 23-20, which will put me just over on the over-under, but also have Philadelphia covering. I do like Philly to cover a 3-point spread. I do. I'd probably tease it to 3.5, or not tease it. I'd probably buy the point to 3.5, just so you're not stuck on a critical number. But yeah, I do like Philadelphia to cover. It's the playoffs, man. I think it's going to be competitive.
Can you guys tell Fletcher Cox to stay home, please?
Nah. Fletch came to eat, baby.
Never.
Real quick, though, what's one thing that worries you guys coming into this game for both of you?
I mean, besides the obvious of Foles, I'll just start and say the Eagles have had to riddle out their running back rotation on a game-to-game basis pretty much. You know, Deuce Staley kind of it feels like a hot hand sort of guy. He's also the sort of running back coach where, like, if you put the football on the ground, there's a chance you don't see the field for the rest of the game. Yeah. Philadelphia has good running backs. Corey Clement, Jay Ajayi, and LeGarrette Blount have all had multiple games this season where they've been dang near unstoppable. They got to figure out who it's going to be quick and stick with it, right? Like, you know, if they're getting production out of all three, great. They like to rotate all three and everything, but figuring out that running back rotation early in the first quarter will help them for the other three.
So you don't want to see a carousel here in this one.
Sometimes the carousel works. That's the thing. Sometimes everybody's, you know, everybody, I'm thinking about the Jim Tom Sula, you know, the GIF. Everybody going to eat. Like everybody's, you know, sometimes the carousel works just fine. Whatever works, they got to find it and stick with it. Sometimes a guy, you'll feel like he's rolling, you feel like he's eating, and he's only got 8 carries by the end of the game. And that can't be something. If Philadelphia wins this game, they need to get consistent production out of the running game. However that gets hashed out, just figure it out quick and stick with it.
My thing is a very nuanced thing. There's two quick things I'll go over. Number one, if we have to chip on Halepuli Vaitai's side with Zach Ertz, and it limits what we can do with our route combinations and limits what we can do as far as Foles' options, that concerns me if Vaitai can't hold up on that left side against Adrian Claiborne. The other thing that concerns me, watching back to the 2016 game, Kyle Shanahan called a great play. Series before, they tried to get vertical on Leotis McKelvin with Taylor Gabriel. McKelvin stayed on top of the route. And then the very next series, they give him the same look with the compressed set with a slot man inside of him. They give a vertical threat to the safety to hold him, and they hit a double move and hit it over the top. I thought it was a beautiful setup. Something like that with a team that's been struggling with double moves the entire season, or at least at the very least since the Giants game, famously, that concerns me as well. All right, Ben, let the gentle listeners know what we have on tap for tomorrow.
Well, hey, firstly, Eric, thank you so much for joining us, man. Again, that was Eric. That's Falcons beat writer for the Falcoholic. Thank you so much, man, for joining us. Remind the listeners, where is your stuff? What is your Twitter at? Where should they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at @_Eric_Robinson. I don't have a ton of new content out right now, but follow me if you want some good laughs when it comes to
this. He's a great follow.
Yeah, and if you're listening to this podcast, there's no way you don't like laughing, because that's pretty much all we do is just silly things. But either way, I, as always, have been Benjamin Solak at Benjamin Solak. Mike is at Michael Kist NFL. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Eagles podcast. We do appreciate it. If you want to, leave a 5-star rating and a review on whatever app you listen to your podcast. We do greatly appreciate it. Currently, we have 69 ratings. So maybe don't, actually. Maybe just leave the number where it is.
Nice.
Also, new and very fun, LockedOnEagles.com is obviously the website for all of the content. However, if you go to tpublic.com and you search Locked On Eagles, you will find the brand new official Locked On Eagles store. Go ahead right now, Locked On Eagles logo on pretty much everything. Go get a onesie for AK. Go get yourself a sticker and a notebook, a t-shirt, a crew neck, a baseball tee. Whatever you want, man, it's there. We're so excited to be adding new designs. So make sure you keep on refreshing that site. A lot of good stuff coming that way. We're very excited to have a merch site for you guys. It's going to be a lot of fun. Besides that, Mike, Friday's show is the official preview show. You and I will get into the nitty-gritty of the games, and we'll see what happens on Saturday.
Keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Cuckoo!